open ears to hear and be attentive and give him respect. And I just thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Bye, middle school. We love you. Why do we do testimonies, guys? Why do we do testimonies? You tell me.
To torture us.
To torture saying. That's the same thing. To see what God's doing in other people's lives. Why do we do testimonies? What else?
To get to know
people. Why do we do testimonies?
To feel the experience.
What?
To feel the experience.
To what?
The experience.
To experience? Uh-huh. What else? Why do we do testimonies? Why do we do testimony?
Encouragement.
Yeah, that was a good one. There's a lot of reasons why we do testimony, but the deal is this, is that I don't know about you, for me, sermons are powerful, of course, right? To hear the Word of God, study the Word of God, but something that's really, really neat, I think, that's unique about testimonies is that individual lives, where the Holy Spirit is affecting someone like Sam, or like me, or like you, and you come up and you share it, it's showing you that the gospel is actually alive, and it's moving, and it's working, and it's changing people. We can come up here and we can share sermons, and nobody really talks about what God is doing in their life, and you would have no idea what kind of effect the Holy Spirit is having on your brother and sister in Christ. But when Sang comes up here, and it's torturous, it's not easy for him. He's really nervous. But when he comes up here and he shares, then all of a sudden then we can be reminded, oh, okay, we're not alone. Oh, the Holy Spirit's working in Sang, so the Holy Spirit can work in me. Oh, I feel connected to Sang because the things that he's been going through, I've been going through, or I have gone through. Right? It's a really, really powerful thing. So it's really easy for you to kind of think that the church is all about, like, professionalism. Like, we want the band to sound good, our sound system to sound good, the speaker to be, like, super, like, polished. But that's not our goal. Our goal is more authenticity than it is professionalism. Because we don't need professionals to lead the church. We need people to lead the church. We need you guys to lead the church. And so Sang is going to be up here. And Sang, how many times have you spoken in front of people in your life?
Never.
Okay, good. So he's never done this before. But it doesn't mean what he has to say isn't valid just because, like, he's nervous and he stutters. You know what I'm saying? So don't think of it that way. Think about authenticity. Think about vulnerability. Think about what God has done in Sang's life and praise God for it. Hopefully, after what Sang talks about, you will be sitting there thinking, man, God, you are good. And not only are you good to Sang, you're good to me. You are good to us, and you're good to our community. You know what I'm saying? And so I want to encourage you guys, don't look at your phones. I know that when Pastor Hong and like what Philip said, that was kind of creepy, like they're spying on us. But like, it's really easy just to kind of look at your phones and kind of check out or be like ADD. I just want to encourage you to honor him because he's going to, like, I don't know if you guys realize this, but whenever you stand up here and you talk, you can see what everyone's doing. Like, if you're looking at your phone, you can see it. We can see it. I could tell what you do when you, I could tell when you fall asleep, right? That's why I say your name sometimes because I just don't care. But Sang might go home and cry, right? He'll go home and cry. So don't look at your phones. Really focus on what he has to say, right? And then after he's done, if God really does speak to you through his testimony, right? Then come and tell them and say, hey, you know what I'm saying? Just want to say that that was really cool. And that really, like, touched me or really moved me or really got me thinking. Or does that make sense? So we're a family together. We're not professionals. We're here living Christ together. And Sang is going to share his testimony.
Hi, guys. I just want to give a shout out to the worship band because they sounded really good.
And talk louder. Nobody can hear you.
It was really good, worship band. Okay. All right. Preparing this was really tough because I'm not really good at speaking and I'm like really nervous and stuff. But and I think the one thing that I was most worried about was, like, what if my testimony's not relatable? What if like none of y'all can, you know, get anything out of this, you know? What if I like disappoint God by doing this testimony? But I don't think that's true because I prayed about it and God's like, it's fine. So all right, so let's start with the theme is this. Okay. Can you read this for me?
Therefore, since you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside with weight which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Alright, so I was born in Korea, like near Seoul. I grew up in a Christian family. My parents always went to church in Korea, which wasn't that like common in Korea back then, because a lot of them were Buddhists. So my dad was, he worked at a company like a wireless something, I don't know, anyways. And we were like, not like rich, but we were like well off. And we had a pretty easy, comfortable life. I don't know if any of y'all old people remember, but do you know what Dreamcast is? Okay. Well, my grandma, she's here. I don't know if you guys know her, but she lived in Augusta way before I have. And she sent me Dreamcast when I was little. And in Korea, no one else had Dreamcast. So it's like, this was before PlayStation, Xbox. Like, if you had this, you were the coolest kid. And I was the coolest kid in Korea. So I was really, you know, happy, comfortable, just living in Korea, eating good food. And then I moved to Augusta, Georgia. And, when we first moved here, my parents didn't tell us that we were going to move here. They told us we were going on a vacation for 3 months. And I was like, okay, that sounds pretty fun. And I came here, 3 months passed, 6 months passed, you know, years passed. And then, you know, they never really told us that we're moving. So I never got to say bye to, like, all my friends and you know, because I had a lot of friends. So I think I had this little bit of anger built towards my parents, although they sacrificed a lot coming here, you know, because they were, you know, working, like, well off, and then to here, and then they, you know, run gas stations. Not that it's bad. I don't know, a lot of people at gas stations. But yeah, they were, like, working constantly here, and at the time, I was kind of angry, more angry than thankful towards my parents. So that's okay. So I grew up in church in Korea, and then when I came here, AKMC was like the church, you know, the only Korean church that was big enough, I guess, and good enough for all the Korean ajummas and ajushis to come. I was 9, I think, in that picture. Those people right here, Crystal, we were here like way before Howard was even here. So technically, we're like his sonbae.
What does that mean in English?
Elder? But during these times was when I felt most lonely and insecure about myself. Is Justin in here? Okay, good. All right. So like, I was like the Justin of back that time. Like he's an awesome boy, but I was like everywhere. I like popped up everywhere. I was trying to hang out with everybody. I came to youth service way before I was even in high school because I just like the attention, I guess. So I was very insecure. So let's see. And then the mean girls, they used to call me Old Moldy Lemon. Yeah, they were bullies. They were bad. They're still bullies, but. I wore this like yellow shirt a lot, I guess. And I guess it's, you know, bad to wear same shirt a lot. So they called me that. So insecurity, everything. I couldn't fit in with, I didn't really hang out with any of them. So I just hung out with like the older people. I think that's why I hung out with older people more. Okay. And then, you know, I went to school, I went to Evans with Chongwon and Esther Kwan. High school wasn't the best experience for me. As many of y'all know, I had to take summer classes my senior year. And in a Korean culture, whatever the reason is, if you're, you know, behind, or if you're, you know, if it looks bad to your family, then you're like a disgrace to your family. So I just felt like that all throughout that summer. And it was probably one of the toughest time of my life. But I went to Georgia Southern, the party school. This, I think the reason I chose Southern over AU was because I wanted to leave my home, like, because of all the shame that I felt like I brought to the family. I just wanted to be distracted from all that, be distracted from all the troubles. I didn't want to really face anything or talk about it with my parents or anything. I just wanted to leave. So that's why I went. And then I started making bad choices. Before this time period, I was saved in one of the winter retreats I went to. I think that's when like God was like, oh, you know, I'm God and I'm amazing. You should follow me. I was like, okay. But back then I was like, I wasn't really talking. I didn't have a relationship with God. I felt like I was talking to like a brick wall. I knew that God had, you know, called me to be greater for him, but I just didn't, I didn't read, I didn't pray. I just, you know, I tried to have quiet time even though I didn't do all those things, and it's just like, you know, say something, like give me a sign, say something, but none of that happened because I wasn't putting in anything towards my relationship with God, with Jesus. So I went to GSU, and then there was this game that Kevin and Robin introduced me called League of Legends, League of Satan. So in my first dorm, it was two people sharing one room and four people sharing one bathroom, right? And then in my room, there was this, my roommate was this really Southern, like, country redneck kind of guy. Like, he loved football and sweet, I don't know. He had, like, his bed sheet was, like, a Confederate flag, like, bed sheet. So, but he was really nice. Which was kind of weird, because I expected him to be kind of, like, Trump will make America great again. So I was rooming with him, and I kind of fell into addiction of League, like gaming, I guess. I used to play till like 4 a.m. in the morning, League of Legends, like 8-9 hours a day sometimes. And like looking back at it now, it's so stupid and crazy, but at the time, it was another distraction for me to use to hide away from my problems and my relationship with God. So I stayed up till like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning playing League. My roommate now is getting pissed because he can't sleep because I'm playing League all night. So he moves out of the dorm. He didn't tell me like that's the reason, but he decided to move away from the dorm. So I just kept playing more League because now I had the room to myself, which was nice. So if you want your own room in college, completely good. I started making bad choices. I started doing things that I shouldn't do. I'm not going to go into details. But let's see. I drove to Athens a lot because at Southern, I kind of fell into depression because all my friends and all my family members, they're either in Athens or Augusta. So I would drive there a lot, hang out with JoJo. And that was another distraction that I intentionally put in my life so that I don't have to worry about what God wants me to do, or I don't have to worry about what my family, like my brokenness in my family. So yeah, intentional distractions. What I differentiates between, wait, is that right? Anyways, between like distraction, like regular world distractions and intentional distraction, is that everyday distractions, I think we all go through, like, you know, cell phone, work, friends, family, stuff like that. For me, it wasn't more of those distractions like that. It was more of me creating my own distractions to hide, like to kind of cover up, you know, everything that I should have dealt with and needed to deal with, but I didn't. Let's see. I used to always justify what my actions with like moral reasons, I guess. Like for instance, if God wanted me to do certain things, like if he wanted me to read more and pray more, I would be like, oh, but I'm, you know, doing this. I have schoolwork to do. I can't do that right now. Or I'm hanging out with friends. That's discipleship. So that's good enough. So I don't have to do that. I don't have to waste my time doing that when I can do your work in other ways. But that's not true at all. So I felt like I was rotting away in my Christian faith. I felt like I was ignoring what God was telling me to do. I was being disobedient. But at the time, it was justified with my own thoughts, with my own distractions. I think, and everything that happened up to that point was what led me to be so distracted, or intentionally distracted, or intentionally distracting myself. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I always felt like I'm not good enough at a lot of times because, you know, I'm not the smartest, or, you know, I like, you know, stuff in high school and stuff like that. So I just didn't feel like I was good enough at anything. And I loved pleasure. I loved living like now. Like, I loved hanging out with friends. I love, even if they were Christian friends, you know, those times kind of like made me, you know, distracted. I keep saying distracted. From everything else. So I was motionless in faith. I was spiritually stagnant, I guess, not really moving. And when that happens, I feel like I feel like you can never be at one spot in your faith. I feel like if you're not moving towards God, the only route is moving away from God. I think that's what was happening to me. Okay. And then the summer, the freshman year summer, I came back to Augusta, and I did not go to church for a long time. I didn't go to college group or anything. I think it was like around like a month after I came back from Southern. And then I don't know why, but one night, God was just telling me, oh, hey, you need to go to college group tonight. And I usually didn't go because I was really uncomfortable coming to this church because I felt like I wasn't welcomed here, even though that wasn't true. I think that was all in my head. But at the time, it was like really hard for me to come back to this church. But I went to college group anyways. And then usually when I ask Howard, hey, can we talk? He like doesn't talk to me. He like runs away. But that day, Howard, you know, sat down and talked with me for some reason. I guess God was like calling him out. And and then Howard kind of called me out, saying like he was like, you know, where are you spiritually? And I'm like trying to justify myself. I'm like, oh, I'm doing okay. I'm going to church now and then. I'm doing, you know, this. I'm going to this like student ministry at college. You know, everything's good. But he kept like going at it, and I just, you know, I don't know why, but I just opened up, and I think I told him where I was, that like my identity in Christ wasn't there. It was just all, you know, distractions. So let's see. Oh, actually, let's go back. Anyways. After that, there were like radical changes that started happening in my life. I think God really spoke to me, saying how much He loved me, how much like I don't have to be good enough for Him, you know. And let's see, where am I at? Okay, hold on 1 second. Okay, so after that, with the wrong choices that I previously made, one by one, you know, things started to change. Like I quit League for a long time, right? After that talk with Howard, I feel like God really convicted me. Hey, League is distracting you from me. So I said, okay, I won't play League anymore. Also, I had a fake ID. In college, well, not necessarily to drink or anything like that, but just to be in that scene, you need to have, you know, that kind of stuff. And God's like, hey, that's illegal. Don't do that. You could get in trouble. I'm like, you're right. So I cut up my ID, my fake ID. And then, like, one by one, I was just cutting away, like, these things that were just, like, rotting away my life. And after that, I feel like God just like kind of showed me way more than I was before. Like looking back at it, I feel like I was just covered in just darkness that I just intentionally put there to kind of not have to worry about what Jesus is saying to me, because that's easier and that's more comfortable. And I always grew up in a comfortable situation, like environment. So I just didn't want to have to deal with anything else that's hard. So I moved back to Augusta. I decided Georgia Southern is not the school for me. I just didn't have a community there. I didn't enjoy being there. The school wasn't for me. So I decided to come back, and my relationship with my family was still broken. But I don't know, it's strange. I think God like started to heal my family a little bit. My grandfather, he recently passed away last Friday, and you know, it's like a tragedy in the family, and it like sucks to have a death in your family, but I don't know, I think he used that as well for the healing of our family, because that's when I really got to see my dad being vulnerable. He's usually very strict, and he doesn't open up. And, you know, he was crying in front of me, which is strange because that never happens in a Korean family, but he was crying. And then after that, we had, like, a really good talk about everything and about my future, about my past. And it was really nice. It was healing. So my plan now is to do culinary like Robin is. I aspire to be a chef one day. That's my goal right now. Spiritually, after I kind of put away those distractions, I kind of have more work now, like, to do with God. But, like, now I don't consider them work, I guess, but I guess my relationship with Christ wasn't there, but now it's building up, and He's healing me through, you know, the stuff that I do. I joined staff because I felt like He really, that God really wanted me to use my life for this church, and I don't know how that's gonna be at this moment, but I have a good, you know, faith that God will use me here in some way and manner. So this is my life verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I don't know. It's just, this gives me like assurance that God is God, and He can solve any problems that you're dealing with, any sins that you're ashamed of. Oh, that's really small. So the main point, I know I like blabbed on, but is that distractions cause shallow thinking, and shallow thinking equals shallow living. When you're distracting yourself intentionally to God, then your life is gonna crumble and fall apart, most likely. And then another thing is, don't be spiritually lethargic. Take time to evaluate where you are, and it was supposed to say something. Where you are with God. A lot of times it's so easy to, you know, justify your actions by saying, hey, I'm hanging out with good friends. You know, I'm not that guy over there smoking weed and having sex and getting girls pregnant. I'm going to school. I'm hanging out with Christian friends. I'm fine. I don't have to read. I don't have to pray. That's too much work. I think that's a really dangerous thought to have, because more you're where you, like, staying where you are, like I said, you're just going back and back away from God. And that's it. Oh my gosh.